That was Prairie Tunes from Jane and Kyle. Let me look at the album. Sorry. With the album, Many an Open Ground. I would like to feature DSFU Red Leafs hockey at this time. On February 6th, the BCIHL Red Leafs hosted the Logan Lake Miners at Burnaby's Bill Copeland Sports Center, where the puck drop was a few minutes after 7 p.m. Logan Lake opened the scoring just 1:41 into the game, as Jordan Lario scored his 6th on the SFU starter, Max Fowle. But the Red Leafs earned their second power play at 5:43 when Lyndon Robertson was penalized for slashing, and Gavin Baines tied a game on the man advantage, his 7th on the minor starter, Matthew Entz. But Logan Lake struck back less than 2 minutes later on Taylor Schmerdeter's 7th at 8:55 and doubled their lead on SFU with 3:04 left in the first on Braden Huth's 3rd, as the Miners outshot the Red Leafs 11-5 in the first. SFU earned its 4th power play at 4:55 on Braden Huth's interference and cut the deficit to 1 on the man advantage on Evan Fettel's 3rd. Logan Lake's penalty trouble continued as Talon Zuckel earned 4 minutes in penalties at 8:06, 2 for head contact, 2 for misconduct, and the Red Leafs tied the game at 3 just 33 seconds later on Tanner Turner's 2nd on the Miners, Matthew Entz. SFU went ahead on Logan Lake 4-3 at 13:41 on Pierce White's 9th, as the Red Leafs outshot the Miners 14-13 in the middle frame, with Logan Lake outshooting SFU 24-19 after 40 minutes. The Red Leafs earned their 8th man. The Red Leafs earned their eighth man advantage at 4:07 on the Miner Talon Zuckel's high sticking, and SFU doubled their lead 37 seconds later on Pierce White's 2nd of the night, his 10th of the season. But Logan Lake struck back in under 2 minutes as Taylor Schmiedeter scored his 8th at 6:14, earned their 6th man advantage at 8:42 on Gavin Baines' hooking, and tied the game at 5 at 9:59 on Ada Turner's 3rd on the Red Leafs' backstop, Max Fowle, who surrendered the Miners' 6th goal just 46 seconds later to Owen Nelson with his 1st of the season. SFU tied a game at 6 with 5:42 left in regulation on Justin Osborne's 7th. Then a major brouhaha ensued with 4:19 left, with Logan Lake earning 5 of 7 penalties, giving the Red Leafs a 5-on-3 man advantage. Tanner Turnus scored his 2nd of the night with 3:17 left, his 3rd of the season, and Braden Pollock scored his 2nd just 31 seconds later on the Miners' backstop, Matthew Entz, giving SFU an 8-6 lead over Logan Lake, who earned another power play opportunity with 1:52 left on Tanner Turnus' cross-checking, followed by Matthew Palacios' tripping, giving the Miners a 5-on-3 advantage, which they capitalized on Gavin Mathies' 8th, but the Red Leafs hung on to win 8-7 for their first win in 2026. Logan Lake were led by Taylor Schmiedeter with 2 goals, an assist, Braden Huth, Owen Nelson, Gavin Mathies with a goal, an assist each, and Lyndon Robertson with 2 assists, went 2-for-9 on the power play, while Matthew Entz surrendered 8 goals on 32 shots. On the other hand, SFU were led by Pierce White with 2 goals, an assist, Evan Fidel, Gavin Baines with a goal, 2 assists each, Tanner Turnus with 2 goals, Nathan Braun and Nick Goyer with 2 assists each, went 6-for-11 on the power play, while Max Fowle yielded 7 goals on 47 shots, but earned the win.
Hello, it's Steve Chong. Tonight is February 6th, 2026, I'm in the coach's room for dressing room 6, and I'm interviewing
Guido Lamberti-Charles,
the head coach for the BCIHL Red Leafs, who had an 8-7 barn burner win over the Logan Lake Miners for their first win in 2026. First of all, what happened?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, and it's, well, the game start was definitely different than we expected, right? Going down 3-1 right off the hop, that was kind of a little bit of a bummer, right? That kind of stinged, I think, everyone, and we had a little conversation in the locker room in that first intermission. But I thought the boys bounced it back, right? And, well, we switched a little bit the power play. We've been working last week on different setup in the power play. We and the first unit, power play unit, did a really good job executing that. And well, that was kind of the two things what we had today. We scored 6 goals in the power play. And that was kind of very, very good and very important today. And now our PK was not too bad either, right? So we killed a few situations. Even last week, our PK already was bang on. We had 4-4 we killed, and then power play we scored last week. Last week was a tight game against Logan Lake. So I'm very happy for the team. I thought it was very important win for us today, and it was good to see how the boys battled and came back from the 3-1, and then they tied the game again and went up, and then was just like a good game for the team and for the morale of the team. Yeah.
What do you make of Max Fall's play, as he clearly struggled in the first, starting with the first goal, but ultimately earned a win?
Well, like I said, it's always with the goalies. I would say it this way: the last few games, kind of Max and Cheyenne been struggling a bit. They had a really good start of the season where they really kept the puck out of the net. We got outshot 60-18 quite a few games, and we've been always close, but that's how it is. And we talked about that with the team too. It's if the goalies are struggling, the team has to play a little bit better up front and help the goalies. That's the goalies what we have. And I thought today we blocked shots a little bit more than last week. Last week we got a couple of goals because shots went through from the blue line, and Logan Lake could capitalize on those shots coming down from the blue line. And today I thought we did a good job blocking shots, and that's how we have to help the goalies. That being said, last week John was playing on the 3-2 loss, and John did a really good game. And so I'm not too worried about the goalies. Like I said, we have to find a way even to score 5-on-5. If the power play is clicking like it is right now, we have to find a way to score 5-on-5. And then, of course, we get a little bit stronger. We get one goal, but I remember tonight off the back check, we had a bad communication. And I've been stressing that all season. I'm still not happy with how the players communicate on back checks or the blue zone. They have to talk more. And I'm kind of a little bit surprised because it's an older team. It's not a junior team anymore. They are in university, but the communication is still kind of an issue. We're not calling out the plays loud enough, and we're not communicating enough in the D-zone coverage, and especially on a back check, and that cost us already quite a few goals. And sometimes that's goals when we get scored on, and that in this situation is it's a key moments, right? Even today, right? We have the fourth line out, we've been talking with the fourth line, okay, we want Pucks DB energy line, make sure we're not getting scored on, and then they had a really bad back check. We had two forwards on the same side, and then the weak side was open, and then you play against a good line, and then they capitalize on that, right? So that's very challenging, right? We have to get that fixed too.
Tell me about the performances of Tanner Turness and Pierce White, as each scored 2 goals. So both combined for 4 goals, from what I understand.
No, I'm happy. So Piercy, anyways, Piercy is one of our top scorers this year, right? And Tanner I did have a meeting this week. I sat down with Ted a little bit, and like I said, I'm seeing way more potential in his play. He has a good shot. You know, he can score goals, and so now finally, I think that was good for him having two goals. Right? I thought it was maybe a good meeting what we had this week, and then show him that I have trust in him, right, and that he is able to score goals, and he showed it this evening, right. So that I think is very important for the team and for him, and I think he could be an impact player for the next few weeks, and hopefully in that pre-playoff game, right. So we need to be ready. Piercy is a hard worker. Piercy won championships, and I'm happy with Piercy how he responded tonight, and he knew we have to win. He is one of the captains, and he did a really good job in the room, on the bench, and on the ice. I'm happy with his performance. Yeah.
Two more questions. One about the BCHL Red Leafs and about your other business. What do the BCHL Red Leafs have to do to defeat the UVic Fikes on Valentine's Day at Queen's Park Arena in New West?
Well, again, so today we talked about the last few games. We talked about we have to play a complete game, and like you know, we had game against UVic when we played in Queen's Park was in October, and I thought that was by far our best game from where everyone stick with the system, everyone played the way how we trained, how we expected the players to play, and so we have to show up next week and playing a complete game. UVic is a skilled team. They have four good lines. We have to play really hard to the middle, keeping the game on the outside, and we have to get down our D-zone coverage a little bit, and like I mentioned before, we have to start talking. Communication is be up. I think we show that we can score 8 goals. Power play is clicking, right? PK is bang on. This week we put on some work in 5-on-5 offensive zone and zone entry. We have to get kind of stuff done this week, and I think that win was a big win for us, and I'm looking forward to next week, and I'm very positive that we can pull off a next win next week in the Queen's Park, because we play in the arena where we practice. The little challenge for us this year is, so we practice in Queen's Park Arena, which is a smaller rink. You've been there, right? It's the boards are bouncy. It's like a lacrosse box, and then we practice all week in that Queen's Park Arena, and then we come here on the weekend and playing at Copeland Arena. The ice is a little bit bigger. It's a complete different boards, right? And you can see it's the play and the game here is completely different than we practice, and it's sometimes you cannot really translate it because the ice is smaller, Queen's Park a little bit shorter, everything is more compressed, and we are so used to it. And I think for next weekend, because we practice in Queen's Park Arena, we are used to do that small ice, we know the boards, we know the bounces from the boards. I think that could be a huge advantage. And personally, I talked with the team even for the pre-playoff and playoff, so we have home, basically it's home game for us, right? We're playing at Queen's Park Arena where we practice, and now it's just preparing for that playoff now, right? So we have to go in that pre-playoff. We're not making the third place anymore. Doesn't matter if we're fourth or fifth. We have to play either way, Lum League or Okanagan. So we have to prepare to win that game. So that's the biggest goal for us now, and the focus for the next few weeks, kind of preparing for the playoffs already.
Finally, how are you managing coaching for the BCIHL Red Leafs and your personal business, Euro Elite Hockey?
Well, it's a challenge, but like I said, I can make my own schedule, right? So for me, it's a little bit easier, right, to work stuff around. But I'm over 28 years anyways in coaching in the hockey business, so I'm used to it, right? And I love what I'm doing. I love coaching. I love doing my Yuri Taki stuff, right? So now camp's coming up. I get an offer to run a camp in Swiss this summer. I have an offer to run a camp in France, close to Paris again. I think some exciting stuff coming up for my company, and it seems like the people around the world like me and get me out to them, and I'm more than happy to travel a bit and use my hockey and to see the world.
Thank you for the interview tonight. Congratulations on the BCIHL Red Leafs 8-7 barn burner win over the Logan Lake Miners. The first win in 2026. behind me, or to my left, is Max Lightfoot, one of assistant coaches. And best of luck against the UVic Vikes at the historic New West Queens Park Arena on Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Hi, once again, it's Steve Chong. Tonight is February 6, 2026. I'm now just outside Burnaby's Bill Copeland Sports Center. Besides dressing room 6 on the walls, and in front of me is
Ben Ruthven,
a forward for the SFU BCIHL Red Leafs, who had an 8-7 barn burner for their first win in 2026 against the Logan Lake Miners, avenging their loss at Logan Lake from last weekend. First of all, what happened tonight?
I don't know, it was a bit of a messy game, a bit of back and forth. In the first period, we started off a bit slow. They got off to a good start, and they were just capitalizing on their opportunities. And we came out strong in the second period, got a couple power play goals, got ourselves going, got that lead. And then the third period was just a bit of a, I can't swear, I guess, but a bit of a gong show, to say the least.
I'll get to the third period later on. How were you able to overcome the 3-1 deficit in the first with 3 goals in the second?
I think we just, I think we got sick of losing. We kind of dug deep, and we're getting close to playoffs. We needed to get this win, so I think we just all kind of got a bit fired up in the room and just came out ready to play.
Now to the third. Tell me about your Michigan goal attempt from behind the Logan Lake goal that became an assist.
Yeah, so we were on the power play. We were just working it down low. I worked it up to Osborne. He worked it back to me. And I went to try the Michigan, which I was successful against these guys last year 3 times. So their D-man saw it coming, and I kind of realized that last second. So I kind of opted out and then went for the backhand pass, and their D-man had got drawn in, so it ended up working perfectly.
Who scored the goal on your Michigan attempt?
I think it was Pierce White.
Pierce just waved at myself and Ben. What do you make of Pierce and Tanner's play, as both scored a combined 4 goals, 2 goals each?
I think they both had outstanding games. Like that whole line, Pierce, Baines, and Branner. Branner had a great game as well. We just had, like, our big names produced it. It's exactly what we needed. I wouldn't say our defense was our best. We let in 7 goals, but we've been lacking scoring, and we've been needing that, so it's good to get it going, especially this time of the year.
2 more questions. What did the BCIHL Red Leafs have to do to beat the UVic Vikes once again at the historic Queens Park Arena in New West?
Well, Queens Park is our home practice rink, so we know it pretty well. We know the bounces, and we played UVic earlier there in that rink, and I thought that was our best game of the year. So I think if we're just trying to replicate that, just play hard, play the game we need to play, there's no reason we can't come out on top.
For the record, the game between the UVic Vikes and the SFU BCIHL Red Leafs will be on Valentine's Day 2026. After that, the BCIHL Red Leafs will be on the road for 3 games, from what I understand.
I think so, yeah, to close out the season, yeah.
Then the BCIHL descends to your practice rink, New West Queens Park Arena, for the 2026 playoffs, from what I understand.
Yeah.
What do you think about the current playoff format where every team competes for the BCIHL championship regardless of their regular season record.
It's definitely interesting. I guess like it gives hope to those lower teams, and it is fair because it does put you through a bit of a gauntlet if you're the fourth or fifth place team. But it's kind of, I guess it's formatted to be a bit of a blitz. They just want it done quick, so it's like 3 days and you're done. Just kind of interesting. But if we can come prepared this year, there's no reason we can't have a shot.
Thanks for the interview tonight. Congratulations on the SFU BCIHL Red Leafs 8-7 win over the Logan Lake Miners for the first win in 2026. And best of luck against the UVic Vikes on Valentine's Day.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Here are the current BCIHL standings. 2 points are awarded for a win, with 1 point for an OTO or a shootout loss. The Vancouver Island University are the runaway first at 15-2-1, 31 points. University of Victoria, second, 9-6-1, 19 points. The Logan Lake Miners are third at 7-6-2, with a 6-3 win over the Okanagan Lakers last night. The Lakers are fourth at 6-10-1, 13 points. And Simon Fraser last at 4-12.
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
Welcome back. Now I'd like to provide the latest on the Surrey Police transition at this time. On February 2nd, the Surrey Police Service provided an update in suspected extortion crimes as the number climbed to 46. On February 3rd, the BC Premier David Eby met Surrey business leaders in Vancouver, where he heard many people wonder if it's ever safe to leave their homes, after which he announced a new community advisory group which will work with the police. As Surrey's police of jurisdiction being the Surrey Police Service, with two districts still policed by the RCMP, to find cracks and enhance communications between all parties, investigators, patrollers, and residents. The BC Premier David Eby also pointed out gaps in communications between the BC Extortion Task Force, led by the BCRCMP, the Surrey Police Service, and the community, which has heard, quote, different updates from various police groups at differing times, saying different things. Eby also announced the following. 1. Implored the federal government to expedite passing two bills, C-12 to improve Canada's immigration and border, and Bill C-14 to enhance bail laws, both of which will close loopholes in refugee claims. And 2, four members of the Surrey Police Board, whose contracts have lapsed, will only be replaced when chosen by both the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke, who was in Ottawa to ask the federal government for additional extortion help, and the BC Public Safety Minister, Nina Krieger. Brenda Locke, the BCRCMP spokesperson, Vanessa Moon, and the SPS Chief, Norm Lipinski, also welcome the new community advisory group. Meanwhile, the Canadian Border Services are investigating 111 individuals linked to suspected extortions, with 9 deported so far, according to CBC Vancouver, CTV Vancouver, and Surrey Now Leader. On February 4th, Paul Dadwell, an ex-RCMP officer, was announced as the Community Advisory Group Head to tackle extortions that have hit South Fraser, particularly Surrey, hard. Dadwell, currently the CEO and founder of security tech company Aryan Defense, has experience with the IHIT and the Combined Forces Special Enforcement Unit of BC, according to the BC Premier David Eby, per BC government press release. Also, according to a Premier Office spokesperson, Dadwell was born and raised in Surrey, speaks English, Punjabi fluently, and is the CEO and founder of security tech company Arion Defense, according to Surrey Now Leader. On February 5th, according to Courtney Dixon of CBC Vancouver, the Surrey Police Board Chief, Harley Chappell, who is also the Semiahmoo First Nations Chief, disagreed with changes to the Surrey Police Board in an interview with CBC. As fully updating new members with events occurring in Surrey, mainly extortions and the police transition, will be a challenge. According to an email between CBC and the Surrey Police Board, four members whose terms have expired that won't be coming back are Sonia Parmar, Christy Moore, Nerissa Allen, and Sarbjit Baines. Also on February 5th, the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke released a statement via the Surrey City website, which said the city supports the Government of Canada's Bill C-12, which deals with border security and immigration system integrity, and C-14, bail and sentencing reform, as these legislations will close loopholes for those who commit extortion offenses to claim asylum. Also on February 5th, the BC Premier David Eby provided an update regarding extortions in Surrey to Jas Johol, a show host for CKNW, such as two helicopters in Surrey, as he stressed a unified message between the RCMP and Surrey Police Service. With the new Community Advisory Committee dealing with the gap between the police forces and community. Here are the latest SPS numbers. There hasn't been an update for February. So as of January 2026, there are 627 sworn police officers, 129 females, 498 males, 280 visible minorities, 22 indigenous, and 498 civilian employees. Thank you for listening to episode 6 of the Steve Chong Show in 2026 on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 11, it's Julian Taylor's Jukebox.
CJSF is 90.1 FM, broadcasting from the heights of Burnaby Mountain.